Thank the Lord for the privilege of being here today. My text is found in Psalms 118 and verse 19. Psalms 118 and 19 says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord." Open to me the gates of righteousness. I don't know what that means to you, but to me, it is the opening to a whole new world, a new life, a happy life. It's opening a way to the road that leads to heaven. There are other things that the gates of righteousness give us, and that is an escape. It is an escape from a life of misery, a life that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. It is an escape route, just like these exit signs over the doors here. There is a way out of a life of misery. A request came in from somebody that had hit bottom here today. There are gates open for people that are looking for relief in their lives, that need help. And the scripture says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness." Paul experienced a life of misery, and he says in Romans 7 and 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He needed an escape route, didn't he? But he found it in chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." See, the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Did you know there are different laws in different countries? You go to another country and you're expected to comply with a different set of regulations. There is a law of sin and death that has dominion over a lot of people today. And there is a law of righteousness. There is a law of holiness that we can also choose to be subject to. And there is a gateway between those two places. And the cry of our heart should be, "Lord, open to me that gate that allows me to escape the laws that have control over me, the law of addiction, the law of sin, the law of eventual destruction. Set me free from that, Lord. Let me in that gate to be under the laws of a new country, a new life, a happy life." Luke chapter 13 and verse 22. Luke chapter 13 and verse 22, "He went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." It's going to take some effort. And not everyone is going to get in. Clark says they seek, wish, and desire, but they do not strive. Therefore, because they will not agonize, will not be in earnest, they shall not get in. We're not going to get to heaven by floating downstream. By refusing to put out any effort, we're going to have to agonize sometimes, aren't we? We're going to have to be willing to lay some things aside. We're going to have the cry of our heart, "Lord, open to me the gates of righteousness." Verse 25, "When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. When the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, suggest to me there is coming a time that the escape route will no longer be there. We have a day of opportunity right now to escape the laws of a country that are binding so many people, that are creating so much heartache in this country today. So many problems in society are created because of the laws that people are living under. The law of sin, the law of death, the law of you reap what you sow. But while there is opportunity, Lord Jesus, open to me the gates of righteousness. The angels of the Lord came to visit Sodom one evening, and Lot saw them approaching the city. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. You suppose that Lot knew what kind of city he was living in? Do you suppose he knew that there are certain laws governing these folks that live here? And I really don't want to see these men spending the night in the street. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread. And they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. You notice that? Both old and young. All the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Now these people were possessed with unclean spirits. These types of unclean spirits compel people to do things that are unholy, things that are unnatural, things that are a great disgrace. But Lot had the decency to withstand the men of the city. Verse 9. And they, being the men of Sodom, said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. So they were threatening Lot. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were in the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Not all gates are gates of righteousness. And these men were seeking intently. They were compelled by the spirits that were in them to get in, to break down the door if that's what was required. And even after they were smitten with blindness, they were still wearying themselves to, you might say, open the gate of unrighteousness. Isn't that sad? The prayer of our heart should be, Lord, open unto me the gate of righteousness. Other people may be wearying themselves, seeking the corruption of this world, but Lord, I'm not there. I don't want to be a part of that crowd. The old, the young, coming from every quarter, seeking the gates of unrighteousness. But Lord, instead, open unto me the way of holiness, the way that leads to heaven. The song says, long in sin I sought for pleasure. Something that would satisfy. You know, a lot of people are looking for that today. People are seeking so hard for satisfaction. They're buying nice homes and cars and motorcycles and seeking for all the things that this world has to offer. They're looking for sinful pleasures, for entertainments. Long in sin, I sought for pleasure, something that would satisfy. But people are trying to open the wrong gates to get there, aren't they? They're looking to addictions. They're looking to all the things that this world has to offer. But I found that sin's dominion, not I needed, could supply. Then I turned to Jesus, and He made me whole. Thank God for that day. Thank God that there was a gate open to me that I was able to enter in. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. Proverbs 4 and 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Can you picture people stumbling around in darkness? Looking for satisfaction, wearying themselves in life, longing for something, and unable to find the gate that leads them to eternal life. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The perfect day is a day in which all sorrows and sighs are gone. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. Isaiah 35 and 8, and highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, and the unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not air therein. This sounds like a good way to me. You ever get tired of the wickedness of this world? Of the strife, of the corruption, of the bad news? You ever get tired of bad news? I like to limit the amount of news that I get. But there's a highway that the unclean shall not pass over it. You know what that means? These men of Sodom are not on that highway. Those fierce spirits. Verse 9, the lion shall be there. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. O Lord, let me on that path. I want to be away from the ravenous beasts that would destroy me. The big predators. I don't want them hunting me down, Lord. Let me on a highway where I am safe. Verse 10, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Do you want that? Joy and gladness? Do you want sighing and sorrows to flee away? Enter into the gates of righteousness. Psalms chapter 27 and verse 11. Psalm 27:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Wycliffe says, direct thou me on the right path, safe from mine enemies. I long to be in a place like that. Safe from sin, safe from my enemies, and safe from eternal destruction. In Pilgrim's Progress, Goodwill met Christian at the gate. And Goodwill instructed Pilgrim on how to know the way leading to heaven. I have clarified some of this old English. Good Christian, come a little way with me, and I will teach thee about the way thou must go. Look before thee, dost thou see this narrow way? That is the way thou must go. It was traveled by the patriarchs, prophets, Christ, and his apostles. And it is as straight as a rule can make it. This is the way that thou must go. You notice the way to heaven is straight. And it is the same way that, according to Goodwill, was traveled by our forefathers, by the prophets, by Christ, by his apostles, and I'm going to say by a great cloud of witnesses. Lord, let me in that same way. Psalms 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And here's my prayer. Lead me in the way everlasting. See if there be any way in me that is of the laws of that other country that I'm trying to escape. Yes. The law of sin, the law of death, the law of destruction. Search my heart, Lord, and help me to know if there is any law that I'm being governed by that's going to keep me out of heaven. Search me, O God, am I living up to the example set by my forefathers, by the patriarchs, by the apostles, by the prophets, by Jesus Christ? When I get to heaven, will I be able to look them in the eye and say I lived a holy life too? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Only God can do that, right? He's the one that knows us better than anyone else. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me, Lord, in the way everlasting. Let me find my way through those gates of righteousness. Christian and Pilgrim's Progress saw two men come tumbling over the wall on the left hand of the narrow way, and they caught up with him. The name of the one was Formalist, and the name of the other, Hypocrisy. Christian began a conversation with them. Christian, gentlemen, whence came you and whither do you go? Formalist and Hypocrisy responded, we were born in the land of vainglory and are going for praise to Mount Zion. Christian, why didn't you come in at the gate which standeth at the beginning of the way? Know ye not that it is written that he that cometh not in by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber? Formalist and Hypocrisy. They said that their countrymen consider the gate to be too far. And so their usual way was to make a shortcut of it and to climb over the wall as they had done. Christian. But will it not be counted a trespass against the Lord of the city whither we are bound, thus to violate his revealed will? formalist and hypocrisy. You don't need to worry about it. This has been a custom for 1,000 years, and if need be, we can produce a testimony to that effect. Did you know that it does not matter how long people have decided that God's word is not important? How long people have been ignoring that word and choosing to go some other way? It doesn't matter. The length of an erroneous pathway doesn't make it right. People are teaching today that you don't have to enter the gates of righteousness to make it into heaven. Are they not? We live in a day of alternative ways, alternative ethics, alternative morality, alternative lifestyles. But there is a way that's right. Oh Lord, when people all around me are choosing other ways, let me take the right way. Let me stand for what is right. Let me pray my answers down from heaven, Lord. Search me, Lord. If there's anything that's going to lead me in a different way, search me, O Lord. And try me. Know my heart, God. An age of alternative ways. It doesn't matter how long people have been choosing something else. It doesn't matter how large their church groups are. Truth is not governed by consensus. Psalms 119 and 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. Thy word is settled, and it's not changed by living in modern times, by people being educated, by the majority deciding that something else is right. Forever, O Lord, thy word, not my opinion or your opinion, but thy word is settled in heaven. Christian said, but won't you be brought to a judgment? Formalist and hypocrisy responded, that custom, it being of so long standing as above 1,000 years, would doubtless now be admitted as legal by an impartial judge. And besides, said they, if we get into the way, what difference does it make which way we get in? If we are in, we are in. You came in at the gate, and we came tumbling over the wall. Why is your situation any better than ours? Will you call yourself a saint of God? You say you're a member of the Church of God, and I say I'm a member of this or that. Or you believe in Christianity, and maybe I believe in Buddhism or some other religion, or maybe agnostic or atheist. Why is your way any better than mine? Christian responded, I walk by the rule of my master. You walk by your imaginations. You are counted thieves already by the Lord of the way. Therefore, I doubt you will be found to be true men at the end of the way. You know, this is serious. This is more than what my opinion is or how I want to live my life or whether or not I did things my way. This is serious. I doubt you will be found to be true men because there is an end of the way. There is a judgment that we're all going to have to face. You come in by yourselves without his direction and shall go out by yourselves without his mercy. To this they gave little answer but told him to mind his own business. Then I saw that they went on, every man his own way, without much conversation, except that these two men told Christian that they probably keep the laws and ordinances as conscientiously as he does. Therefore, said they, we see not wherein thou differest from us, except for the coat that is on thy back, which was probably given thee by some of thy neighbors to cover, to hide the shame of thy nakedness. Christian responded, "By laws and ordinances you will not be saved, since you came in not by the door. And as for this coat that is on my back, it was given me by the Lord of the place whither I go. And as you say, to cover my nakedness, I take it as a token of kindness to me, for I had nothing but rags before. Surely when I come to the gate of the city, the Lord thereof will know me, since I have his coat on my back, a coat that he freely gave me in the day that he stripped me of my rags." Did you know when we're in the right way, we are going to act like Christians? We're going to have the Spirit of Christ about us. We will have a robe of salvation on us if we're in the right way. The rags that we once wore will no longer be there. The three travelers continued until they reached the hill of difficulty, when formalists and hypocrisy saw the hill was steep and high. They chose to take alternative paths called danger and destruction. If going in at the correct gate is not important, then climbing the steep hills must not be important either. Sacrificing of yourself must not be important. Taking up the cross and following Jesus must not be important if going in through the gate of righteousness, the gate of salvation, is not important either. If you can live however you want, go whichever way you want to, then why not take an easier road? John chapter 14 and verse 1. John 14 and 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." This morning, how badly do you want to get there? To this place that Jesus just described. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house." Doesn't that sound inviting? Yes. My Father's house. There are many mansions, there are many rooms, in other words. "And I go to prepare a place for you." He's gone to prepare a place for me. I want to get there badly. Don't you? Can you imagine having this place waiting for you? No unclean spirits there, no ravenous beasts. The wicked cease from troubling there. Eternal rest, eternal joy. The presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The presence of God the Father, of the Holy Spirit, of the angels, of those heroes of faith that have gone before us, of our loved ones that have gone on before us. Don't you long to be there? Tell you what, I used to want to live to be 1,000. Had ambition in life. There are so many things. I enjoyed life. I still do. And I felt like life was too short, and if I could just live to be 1,000, all the things I could enjoy and accomplish. I no longer have that desire. You know, there's a better place than this world. There's a place that he has gone to prepare for us. God, help us to be in the right way. Lord, help me to enter in the way that leads me to that place. "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas was human, wasn't he? You ever feel, how do I know which way's right? Lord, I don't know where to go. I'm at a dead end. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but me. How can we know the way, Lord? Yes, we want to get to the place you're describing. How can we figure out how to get there? Is there a roadmap? Are there some distinguishing features that tell us we're on the right road? Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Isaiah 30 and 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and to when ye turn to the left. So how can we know the way? By listening to his voice. This is the right way, Doug. Walk in it. But Lord, I'm facing a difficult situation. I don't know what to do. This is the right way. If I'll listen to that voice. John 10 and 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So how can we know the way? Because there's a voice that will speak to us. You know what you just did? Better not do that anymore. Those words you spoke, you better make an apology. That's that voice that helps us know the right way. There are alternative gates. Yes, there are gates of righteousness that are standing open for you and for me this morning. They're open. But I want to warn you, there are some other gates that are open as well. And there are gatekeepers there crying to get you to enter into their alternative gates. Trying to get you to turn aside all that your parents taught you, that the saints taught you, that's really not important. That's really not required. Be careful. How can we know the way? By following the teachings of Jesus. By following his example. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. That's the right way to go. By taking the meek way out. You in a conflict with someone? Get meek and lowly. Matthew chapter 12 and 19. Matthew 12 and 19 gives us a picture of Jesus. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Clark says the Spirit of Christ is not a spirit of contention, murmuring, clamor, or litigiousness. He who loves these does not belong to him. Christ therefore fulfilled the prophecy by withdrawing from this place on account of the rage of the Pharisees. How can we know the way? By following Jesus' example. By entering into the gates of salvation. What's the longing of your heart this morning? Lord, open unto me the gates of righteousness. And I will go in. No matter what I have to leave behind. No matter what the price, I will go in. And I will praise the Lord. Today the gates are open, but there's coming a day, we don't know how soon, that those gates will be closed. I ask you this morning, while the gates are open, will you go in? Imagine the people outside Noah's ark as the floodwaters began rising. Noah, open up! Open up, Noah! But it said God shut the door. It wasn't Noah, it was God had shut the door. Open up the door now, Noah. There was a time that they had opportunity. Do you remember when I was preaching to you about a flood? Do you remember when I was telling you to stop your violence? To pray to the God in heaven? Do you remember that? Do you remember when the door to this ark was open and you were mocking me? Do you remember that? There's coming a time that the door of mercy will be shut to every one of us that have rejected the Lord. Jesus, didn't we do mighty works in your name? Open unto us and let us into heaven. We ate and we drank in your presence. We attended church services. We went to camp meetings. We sat on the pew. We even put money in the offering. We did good deeds. We were nice people, good citizens. Let us in, Lord Jesus. There's coming a day that the Lord will say, I never knew you. Because people did not enter in at the correct gates. Because they did not live holy lives. Because they procrastinated. That fully intended to get it right someday. But just kept putting it off until the gates were shut. Song number 43 says, we are going through to glory by the Bible. See the way marks, be ye holy through the blood. You see, there are marks along the way that tell you you're on the right way. Kind of like road signs that to me is a reassurance. I look up and it, yes, I'm on the correct highway. See the way marks, be ye holy through the blood. In the name of Jesus, will you meekly travel with the pilgrims to that beautiful abode? If you haven't entered into those gates today, they're open, and I encourage you to enter in. And if you have entered in, I encourage you to keep that prayer in your heart. Lord, just keep opening the gates of righteousness to me. Anytime I have a decision, do I do this or do I do that? Lord, help me to find the right path. And keep those gates open for me. May God bless you today. Amen.